This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Nutrition and Weight Management channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with naturopath and nutritionist Lisa White, who is the creator and producer of the online cooking show Alternative Chef Kitchen and the author of The Alternative Kitchen, A Beginner's Guide to Cooking Without Dairy, Soy, Gluten, Egg, or Meat. Lisa, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on eHealth Radio. And you're welcome. So for starters, how is Alternative Chef Kitchen different to all the other cooking shows and books out there? And who does the show really help?
So we're different from the other cooking shows because we cater to people who can't eat the foods that the other cooking shows rely on. So the ingredients like wheat and gluten-containing flours or cow's milk, cheese, butter and cream, we cook without all of that. Also eggs, which you'll find a lot of the other cooking shows rely on, especially in baking and their savoury dishes as well. And we've also made our recipes on the show meat-free because we figure it's easy enough for people to add meat and cheese to recipes, but it's a lot harder to cook without them and still end up with a delicious result, especially if people don't know some simple tips and tricks for substitution. The show is actually designed to help people and parents of children who have been recently diagnosed with food sensitivities. And so we just want to give some inspiration and ideas to these people who might not know where to start and how to convert the foods that they can eat into meals that the family can eat. Because often like people find that quite tricky in the early days. And we do this each episode. We show one recipe four different ways so that it's suitable for a variety of different dietary needs.
Certainly are providing a great value there. Tell me, what inspired the creation of the show?
So I was watching MasterChef and I loved the show, but I couldn't help but think, wouldn't it be great if there was a cooking show that didn't rely on so much dairy, because I've got a dairy intolerance. And a lot of the foods that I was cooking with, everything had butter. and so I just kept thinking, this is a great idea. Someone should create a cooking show for people with food intolerances. And then this was further compounded a year or so later when my infant daughter was diagnosed with a dairy and soy allergy. And again, I kept thinking, wouldn't it really be great if there was a cooking show that showed people how to cook without all of these ingredients, because soy is the most common alternative to dairy. And if you can't have dairy and soy, you know, a lot of people are pretty overwhelmed when they first find out they have to learn how to cook, you know, without these common ingredients. And so, again, I was thinking about the idea and one of my friends was saying, this is a great idea, you should do it, you know. And so eventually I did, because in my naturopathic clinic I was starting to see a lot of clients who had multiple food intolerances and also like out-of-the-box food intolerances. So when mainstream cooking shows do food intolerance-friendly recipes, it's usually just a single food intolerance they're dealing with. So it's usually just a gluten-free recipe, or it's a vegetarian recipe, or it's a dairy-free recipe. You don't often see combinations. And I was getting clients who were vegan with gluten issues, or vegan with FODMAP issues, or I had another, client who couldn't have nuts as well as dairy or soy. So, you know, in real life, people don't have these simple one-off intolerances. They often have combinations. So in the end, I decided to take up my friend's suggestion and make the show, because it looks like no one else is going to do it.
Definitely took action there. Congratulations on that. Can you really make alternatives to doing anything? And how do you make alternatives to milk or meat?
You can certainly make alternatives to most of your family favorites. You just need to know some simple tips and techniques and how to substitute foods to achieve similar tastes and textures. So you'll be really surprised at just how many alternatives that taste really good, by the way, because that's the most important thing. There's no point making alternatives if it tastes like cardboard. Just using simple ingredients and simple techniques. So In terms of making alternatives to milk and meat, yes, you can make alternatives to these things. We've got a fantastic recipe in our lasagna episode in season one where you can make a mince substitute using nuts and sun-dried tomatoes. And it's just amazing that so many people have tasted it and just been blown away by the flavour and the texture. And in terms of making things like milk, because milk is such a common thing that people eat, you know, they have it in their coffees, they have it in their cereal. It's an ingredient in so many recipes. And if you can't have cow's milk, you know, you can be left thinking, well, what can we have? How do we get around this situation? And so we've got a recipe in our pilots, in our season one as well, where we show people how to make milk alternatives at home using simple plant-based ingredients like oats, rice, coconut and nuts. So there's lots of different ways of making your own homemade milk alternatives as well. So yeah.
Very, very interesting. Today we are with naturopath and nutritionist Lisa White, who is the creator and producer of the online cooking show Alternative Chef Kitchen and the author of The Alternative Kitchen, a beginner's guide to cooking without dairy, soy, gluten, egg, or meat, here on eHealth Radio's nutrition and weight management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. Lisa, do you need expensive equipment, and also do you need to use different foods, shopping a lot at different stores for obscure ingredients to make the recipes? That would be the questions.
Well, no, you don't need fancy equipment. We use a range of equipment on the show because we really wanted the show to be a great resource for people wherever they're at in their kitchen and in their cooking journey. So a lot of people don't have the fancy high-end equipment. And if you do have it, that's brilliant. It can help save you some time and it can produce a really lovely product at the end. But you can do a lot of things with a standard benchtop food processor or blender. And you just need to know a couple of tips and tricks and how to make the most of these. So, for example, you know, if you're making a nut puree, which is a really great way of achieving a creamy texture, if you can't have, you know, dairy cream, using a high-powered blender is great. That'll produce a really smooth product quicker. But if you've got a simple food processor, simple things like scraping down the sides in between blending, you're going to have to blend for a bit longer, and making sure there's enough liquid but not too much in the food processor to help get that creamy puree going. So, you know, little tips and tricks like this which help you make the most of the equipment that you've got so that you don't have to go out and spend a whole lot of money in the beginning when you're just learning how to do all of this. It can be overwhelming to have too many new things at once. In terms of the ingredients, we don't use too many obscure ingredients in the show because, again, I wanted this to be a very practical resource. So most of the alternatives that we show you are using ingredients that you can get from your local supermarket. At the most, you might have to get a couple of items from your local health food store, and there are also a number of online stores now who are starting to deliver these kinds of items to your door if your local supermarket doesn't stock them. But I've got to be honest, in the last couple of years, I'm noticing our local supermarkets are beginning to stock more and more of some of these, what used to be alternative ingredients, in their healthy aisle. Things like nutritional yeast, for example, which helps give a cheesier flavour to things like your nut purees, if you're making a creamy cheese sauce, that kind of thing. So you can still get a lot of these ingredients now at your local supermarket.
Excellent, excellent information. Thanks so much for that. Lisa, what are three top tips for someone just starting out to cook like this?
So my top three tips, the first would be don't be afraid to try new things, because you find when you've been diagnosed with food intolerance or some other food sensitivity, unlike choosing to become vegetarian or vegan, where it's a conscious choice, and so you've got other reasons and other motivations to help you get through those. I miss chocolate biscuits stage, for example. when you've just been diagnosed, you've got a little bit of that grief for the foods that you love. It's not a choice to stop eating them. You sort of have to, because it hurts your body in some way. And so my advice and my tip is don't be afraid to try new things. There are so many alternatives that actually are delicious and do taste as good as the original that you remember. And if you've got that mindset of everything's going to taste like cardboard from now on, you're going to miss out on the opportunity to actually find and enjoy these new foods. So don't be afraid to try new things. My second tip is to remember that taste buds change. So if you try something at first and you think, I'm not so sure about that, don't be afraid to try it again down the track in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, because your taste buds will have evolved and adapted and you will be in a better place to really understand if you like the flavour of that new food or not. And if you think about this, the easiest analogy I could give people would be when you take sugar out of your coffee. So at first you might think, oh, that doesn't taste, quite the same. And then after a while, if you came back and you have someone accidentally put sugar in your coffee and you take a sip, you'll think, oh, that's way too sweet. And so that's just an example of your taste buds changing over time. And that'll happen with these foods too. So, if at first you tasted the creamy puree and you thought, oh, that doesn't taste like dairy, you'll be surprised, because when you come back and have it months later, it'll be like, wow, that's like real ice cream. That's how I remember ice cream tasting. So taste buds really do evolve and adapt. And my third tip is to just become familiar, like I've been saying in this interview so far. Just there are some simple techniques, really simple. This is not chef. You don't have to be a chef to create these alternatives in your kitchen at home when you're cooking for your family. It's not a cooking competition. It's just if you like the flavour, then that's brilliant. You've won, And so just learn some simple techniques and some simple food substitutions, and you can apply these techniques to so many other foods. So I've talked about pureeing nuts to create a creamy texture today. We've also pureed other things that people might not think of pureeing, like zucchini, fresh zucchini, for example. And we've used that in a hummus recipe for a different spread or dip alternative. So you can really create amazing recipes now just by using these simple substitutions and simple techniques.
Lisa, really good to have you. Super information and helpful in all regards. It just goes to show you that there is certainly hope in regards to eating more healthy, and there all are alternatives to anything that we are currently eating on our way to a healthy diet. So thank you so much for providing all this helpful information and tips here today. How do we watch the show, buy the book, find out more about the e-course?
That information is over on our website, which is alternativechefkitchen.com. And if you go there to the homepage for our website, you'll see a link to watch all of our episodes. Season 1 is currently up there, and Season 2 is going to be released in March this year. So keep looking there. And we've also got a list of the handy alternatives and substitutions for people who subscribe to our newsletter. So you can find out all that information, how to do that, on the website, as well as the information to where to buy the book and to find out more about our e-course called Your Alternative Kitchen.
Well, Lisa, we want to thank you for your time today, and thanks so much for joining us on eHealth Radio. Certainly look forward to a future conversation right here on eHealth Radio.
Thanks, Derek. See you later.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with naturopath and nutritionist Lisa White, who is the creator and producer of the online cooking show Alternative Chef Kitchen. She's also the author of The Alternative Kitchen, A Beginner's Guide to Cooking Without Dairy, Soy, Gluten, Egg, or Meat. And for more information, simply visit alternativechefkitchen.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Nutrition and Weight Management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.